Nanju jiwa su malare pe sungur, uma yang dapar jiwa yang sejirwa.
Please put to melody the song sung by the Lord of Yogis, Milarepa, an authentic portrait of the middle way. It's in the Sun of Wisdom on page 205. From the standpoint of the truth that's genuine, there are no ghosts, there are not even Buddhas, no meditator and no meditated, no paths and levels traveled and no sun. And no fruition bodies and no wisdoms, and therefore there is no nirvana there. Just designation using names and statements, all animate in animate the three realms. And non-existent from the outset, no base to rest on, to not co-emerge. There is no karmic act, no maturation, so even the name samsara does not exist. That's the way these are in the final picture. But oh, if sentient beings did not exist, what would the Buddhas of three times all come from? Since fruition with no cause impossible. So the standpoint of the truth that's superficial is samsara's wheel, nirvana past all grief. It all exists, that is the sage's teaching. Then what exists appearing to be things? And then on existence reality that's empty are essentially inseparable one taste. And therefore there is neither self-awareness nor awareness of what's other anywhere. All of this a union vast and spacious, and all those skilled in realizing this do not see consciousness, they see pure wisdom. Do not see sentient beings, they see Buddhas. Don't see phenomena, they see their essence. And out of this compassion just emerges. Powers, fearlessness, and whole. The qualities embodied by a Buddha. Just come as if you had a wishing jewel. This is what I, the yogi, have realized.
Kongyuten jen devar jonga ba me ba jime, che ba me ba da me ba wa me ba do me, ta te te me te je me, tu pa nye je je dem, Dope Sanje Manamje Tambate Lazo Nalo.
Let's recite the opening homage on page 1 after the introduction. I prostrate to the one who teaches that whatever is dependently arisen does not arise, does not cease, is not permanent, is not extinct, does not come, does not go, and is neither one thing nor different things. I prostrate to the perfect Buddha, the supreme of all who speak, who completely dissolves all fabrications and teaches peace. We're going to begin now with chapter 1.
Rabzi tambo ne da doye doi ke giteso che lo ne apre.
And if we read the quotation from the sutras that this chapter is about, that would also be very good.
Rabzi tambo chinta pe doinde madru pe chupen dole kangi kinle chepa tema ji tela chebra gi yumai kin la rale kang de tombar ke kang tu ni ke de payu yin ke song par te ta ba nyam bolo.
So these quotations at the beginning of the chapters from the sutras are good for us to go through. Let's read this together from the sutra requested by Madrupa. Whatever arises from conditions does not arise. It does not have the nature of arising. Whatever depends on conditions is explained to be empty, and to know emptiness is the way to be conscientious. If you memorize this quotation from the sutras, this particular one, that would be very good. You don't have to memorize a lot of things, just some important short quotations from the sutras.
Rabdu sepender juju do jeva me heba hebe ton te ni tene jeva me pe tsor jebre hebre.
Nagarjuna composed this chapter to prove with valid reason, with logical reasoning, the statement he makes in the opening homage that things do not arise. There's a verse we can recite together on page 5. Not from self, not from other, not from both, nor without cause. Things do not arise at any place, at any time.
Sinanga ngubo nam yanta parteva mede dale maji yile maji nikale maji jumile maji.
Given all inner and outer things, they do not truly arise because they don't arise from themselves. They don't arise from something different than themselves. They don't arise from both, and they don't arise without cause.
Tene kherab long den le cha dang to kwa na so ni jyo dang jin le je pe se je me twa pa twa pe se rang ye me bar ke bar sa je bar.
And let's read from Lightning Sparks of Wisdom. These various thoughts of attachment and aversion seem to arise from causes and conditions, but when you examine their causes and conditions, you find they are unborn, beyond conceptual fabrication. So know these thoughts have no inherent nature. So I explained about this before, so now I don't think we need to go into it again.
rabde nyeban rong tak bun do yin de rabde tsar de namba namba zulo wa dan ruwa manang o chi sum ba de
Chapter 2 is an examination of coming and going, and it is an explanation of the passage in the sutra requested by the Bodhisattva's shining intelligence, where the Buddha taught, form does not come and it does not go.
Rabzi Jinder Chuju to Wameba Romeba Sondoti Romeba Rikvedrupare.
And Nagarjuna wrote this chapter to prove with logical reasoning the validity of what he wrote in the opening homage, that there is no coming and no going.
And
let's read the verse together that's on page 13. On the path that has been traveled, there is no moving. On the path that has not been traveled, there is no moving either. And in some other place, besides the path that has been traveled and the path that has not, motions are not perceptible in any way at all.
And
let's read from Lightning Sparks of Wisdom. The mind thinks a variety of good and bad thoughts, but since their coming and going are imperceptible, know that thought's true nature is free from coming and going, and that thoughts are dependently arisen, mere appearances.
Rabzi sumba chinchi takpa takpun doyinde yomle mingni mingi tongo ki so sumba tikigiram.
Chapter 3 is an examination of the sources of consciousness. It is an explanation of the passage from the Sutra of the Great Mother Prajnaparamita, where the Buddha taught the eye is empty of the eye.
Rabzi Jinder Tavatam Tani Nomba Nyuar Seba the Rizzi Yubijunzi Chinchi Chuni Dembar Yopan Debesena Deda Kakpare.
And Nagarjuna wrote this chapter because those who said things, believe that things truly exist, said that the eyes see forms, the ears hear sounds, the nose smells odors, the tongue tastes flavors, and the body experiences tactile sensations. And all of this functioning of the sources of consciousness, the inner ones perceiving the outer ones, proves that they exist. So Nagarjuna wrote this chapter to examine perception and refute this idea.
There
is a verse we can read together on page 23. Know that these reasonings, refuting the faculty that sees, refute the faculties that hear, smell, taste, touch, and the mental faculty as well. Refute the hearer and the other perceiving consciousnesses. Refute sound and the other perceived objects. And from Lightning Sparks of Wisdom, the inner and the outer sources of consciousness cannot logically exist sequentially and cannot logically exist simultaneously, and so the Buddha taught they have no nature of their own.
Rabzi Yeba Pungpo Takpe Doyinder Tonda Jabale zhōngdō zhōgō tōngō, tsōrwa nō tsōrwa tōngō, dōshī nō dōshī jī tōngō, dōshī nō dōshī jī tōngō, nāmbar xīpa nō nāmbar xīpa tōngō sō, jāchē sōngbā tēdā, tēnē rīkwē tōpā rīyā.
Chapter 4 is an examination of the aggregates, and the basis for the explanation of this are the teachings from the Prajnaparamita Sutras, where the Buddha said, forms are empty of forms, feelings are empty of feelings, discriminations are empty of discriminations, formations are empty of formations, and consciousnesses are empty of consciousnesses. Nagarjuna will prove the validity of these teachings with logical reasoning.
Rabzi Jindir, when a chinchi kapare, the capso, Pumbonga, you a bit jumchinchi, chinchi ranginchi, you a per the bagagbichedo, somebody.
Nagarjuna wrote this chapter because those who said things truly exist said that your previous refutation of the sources of consciousness is not valid. The sources of consciousness do exist because the aggregates exist. And so Nagarjuna had to examine the aggregates.
Then the Tsabatsiki, Zogji Juna Madoba Zogna Mekwar Majuru, Zogi Sawa Madoba Zogji Jura Mnango.
Let's recite the verse that is on page 30. Except for there being the cause of form, form would not be seen. Except for there being what we call form, the cause of form would not appear either.
Then Hiralo Nengi Dudu, Juzu Yunga Yenandang, Rezu Wanga Dungala, Remda Kikir Medebe Nandong Mlantavriki.
And from lightning sparks of wisdom, causal forms, the four great elements, and resultant forms, the five sense faculties and their five objects, cannot logically exist sequentially or simultaneously. So know they are appearance emptiness like dreams.
And on page
31, feelings, discriminations, formations, minds, all the things there are susceptible to the same stages of analysis that forms have been put through here.
Page 32.
When emptiness comes up for debate, whatever answers try to prove true existence, those answers are unsound because they are equivalent to the very thesis to be proved.
Tuni mava umapi ngobu dembar. Dembar mava namna, rikpa nuzi jepe, lin debar seba, kangi lin mabar seba, ti tamche, pe kanko ba tang, tense kanko ba tamche, lin yanta ba mainte, umabala, pe yang, drupsa tang, tsungba tungba nyi tang.
When someone who explains the middle way debates with someone who believes things truly exist, then the proponent of the middle way explains the logical flaws in the belief that things truly exist. And then the one who believes things truly exist tries to answer. But the thing is that whatever answers they give, they are of the nature of emptiness. So they just prove the middle way's point. They are equivalent to
the middle way's thesis, which is emptiness. Whatever reason they give, it is lacking in inherent nature. So, for example, someone might say, the aggregates do truly exist because they exist from their own side, like rocks, like mountains and diamonds. But the one who explains the middle way would just say, well, diamonds and mountains are just of the nature of emptiness. Or they might say, all of these things exist because I can see them. I have a valid cognition of them. But the proponent of the middle way would explain that valid cognition doesn't have any inherent nature either. So the problem for the ones who want to prove that things truly exist is that they don't have any examples of something that truly exists. And they can't come up with any logical reason to prove that things truly exist. So they're stuck. It's like that.
And on page
33, when explanations are given about emptiness, whoever would try to find fault in them will not be able to find any faults at all, because the faults are equivalent to the very thesis to be proved.
Then Oma pe chutam je tungpa nye du ke pe tse ngopo denpar ma pe jeva ngap se mepar tarwa, lende mepar tarwa, kuncho mepar tarwa, laso pe tarwa kande kuna yang, tene te chuncho kande je se na yang, te chuncho yang tapa ma re, te ta tam je chuncho te so tun tambar ma dro par tsung pa re, tun tambar ma dro pa re.
Here, this is talking about when someone who believes things truly exist says, well, if your explanation of emptiness was right, then there would be no rare and supreme ones, there'd be no three precious jewels, there'd be no past and future lives, there'd be no samsara nirvana. And the middle way simply says that that's not a criticism because we agree with you. You know, that's not a fault in our argument, that is our argument. So it's equivalent to the middle way's thesis. But if somebody says, well, then also that would mean that these things wouldn't even appear in relative reality, then the answer is that's incorrect, because things do appear in relative reality, superficial reality, as dependently arisen mere appearances. That's not denied.
So
if somebody said, well, the absurd consequence of your view is that ultimately past and future lives would not exist, then the middle way responds, we agree with that. Ultimately, past and future lives do not exist. But then if they said, well, then it follows that they wouldn't even appear to exist, then the middle way response is, why not? They do appear in relative reality as dependently arisen mere appearances.
Tene kang tanyi deya ba tamje ton tambar me bando. Tene tanyi de me ba jise tene nanzo yu. O tena wuchikwane.
Because the middle way position is that whatever exists conventionally does not exist in genuine reality. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist conventionally, because that's where we started. And conventional appearances are dependently arisen mere appearances. Their appearance is not denied. And this style of explanation is precisely the way that Milarepa explains it when he sings, Emma, the phenomena of the three realms of samsara. While not existing, they appear. How incredibly amazing. Since things do not exist in genuine reality, at the same time they appear to exist, they are mere appearances in relative reality, there's no contradiction, and this union of appearance and emptiness is a miracle. When you examine suffering with prajna, you find that it doesn't exist in genuine reality. At the same time, it appears as a dependently arisen mere appearance. And so suffering is a miracle, because it's the union of appearance and emptiness. It's miraculous. So let's read from Lightning Sparks of Wisdom. Causal forms, the four great elements, and resultant forms, the five sense faculties and their five objects, cannot logically exist sequentially or simultaneously. So no, they are appearance emptiness like dreams.
Tangaba Kanta Bundoike Gekesele Sai Kanara Gimido Chui Kanara Gimido Me Kanara Gim Longa Kanara Gimido Namka Kanara Gimido Number Hibe Kanara Gimido So Jachesumbatini Kigri.
Chapter 5, An Examination of the Elements, is an explanation of the passages in the Prajnaparamita Sutras where the Buddha taught the element of earth has no nature of its own, the element of water has no nature of its own, the element of fire has no nature of its own, the element of wind has no nature of its own, the element of space has no nature of its own, the element of consciousness has no nature of its own. Nagarjuna will prove the validity of these teachings with logical reasoning.
Then Rabzi Jete Kam Kam Nam Drogan Tsini Yipijun Tsinje Kam Drogan Yinje Drobanda Bagakuchidri.
The reason why Nagarjuna wrote this chapter is that those who believe that things truly exist said that the reason why the elements exist is that their defining characteristics exist. Whether it's the five or the six elements, they exist because their defining characteristics exist. And so Nagarjuna wrote this chapter to refute that, and he does that by examining defining characteristics.
Namkan tsinyi ngaru na namka chonze yomai.
Let's read together on page 38. Space can in no way exist prior to its defining characteristics. If space existed prior to its defining characteristics, it would follow that space could exist without defining characteristics.
Namga tini ko jepa ngarar tu sunsa namga yuna singe modern nanga namga la tongi ko man jepa mabartar.
If space existed before its defining characteristic of being unobstructing, then it would follow that the space in a car would not be unobstructing.
This is namde.
That's why that doesn't make sense.
Yang tsunsa ngoylan tsinyi yuna, dindin tsunsa mayba tsinyi dutarwa. Deyamde.
And if the defining characteristics existed before that which they define, then they would not be the defining characteristics of anything. And that doesn't make sense either.
Enna kangi nyana tende nangta. Mulangyinda tende nangta.
And so what are they? They are just dependently arisen mere appearances, just like appearances in dreams.
Then kamma de kamma dobu de mlanje kamma de nimu kamma de hachang dabu yore mlan de nimu dan dravese na mlan ngoma hi de bare nimu da nimu de mlan dan dravese na de ba mar ya por eso
ya por eso.
Yeah.
The elements in a dream and the elements in the day are very similar. And since the elements in the dream are so much like the elements in the day, then we don't recognize we're dreaming when we're dreaming. Since the elements in the, during the day are so similar to elements in the dream, they don't truly exist. And we can use the dream example to help us understand that.
Tese namka ngubo me, ngume mayin tenge me. Tenye mayin kang ngabu, yengang taja namka tong.
Page 40. Therefore, space is not something, it is not nothing, it is not a basis for characteristics. Its defining characteristics do not exist. And the other five elements are precisely the same.
Lojong kanda unam la yoba nida minid. Taba tene ta sava nyevar kewa kemen.
And on page 41, those with little intelligence view things as being existent or non-existent. They do not see that what is to be seen is perfect and utter peace.
Lord Chungwa Namji Chujin, Tripa Nyevar Kheva Tum Mundong Pa Junsin Yute, Tum Tambar Yuepar, Tachik Tu Yuepar Khenpa Tang, Mepar Khenpa.
Given those with little intelligence, meaning little understanding of the true nature of reality, they do not see the perfect and utter peace beyond conceptual fabrication, because they always project the idea of something existing or not existing, and that obscures the true nature of reality beyond concept.
Then Rova in the Lord Chungwa Rang Dendro Revesana, Lord Chungwa Yang Dendro Mada, Lord Chungwa Lo Yang Dendro Mada, Drupata Trama. In the Yang, Drupata Trava Tumada.
Well, if you ask, is this state of little intelligence truly existent? The answer is, no, it's not. Because intelligence itself doesn't truly exist. And the true nature of intelligence is beyond conceptual fabrication. But those with little intelligence don't see that.
And
from lightning sparks of wisdom, considering the elements of earth, water, fire, wind, space, and consciousness, when you distinguish between their defining characteristics, that which is defined, and then analyze, you cannot find even the tiniest bit of true existence. Chapter 6 is an examination of desire and the desirous one, and it is an explanation of the passage in the Sutra of the Great Mother, where the Buddha taught desire is perfectly pure, and therefore forms are perfectly pure. And the Buddha taught about perfect purity in a vast way, and in this chapter, Nagarjuna proves its validity, the validity of these teachings with logical reasoning.
Tene rabzi jindene docha sa su nyumum ba rangin je be junzin je phongkan jin je rangin je yo ba numa be de be sena tene docha sa nyumum la ta ke tang go par.
Nagarjuna wrote this chapter because those who believe things truly exist argued that the aggregates and the elements and the sources of consciousness all exist because desire and the other disturbing emotions exist. And so Nagarjuna had to examine desire.
Tene docha so nyumon la takye tang de dendro docha so nyumon dendro yina tene phongkan chenje dendro do lamsang kheling gi go bolu dok. Tene docha so nyumon dendro denba maro pesena
if it were true that desire was truly existent, then Nagarjuna would be the first one to assert that the aggregates and sources of consciousness and elements were truly existent. But when he investigates, he doesn't find that. He finds that desire and the other disturbing emotions don't have any true existence.
Katin docha ngaru nan docha me be chayun. Telatin docha yu tai chayun docha yu banjo.
And let's read together on page 45. If before desire existed, if without any desire there existed a desirous one, in dependence upon that, there would in fact be desire, because when there is a desirous one, there is also desire.
Tene khirab lonteng ji dudung la, chakpa pota chayur ni kansa dadu madrus, docha rangin kalayu yeda yedur chembrhiya.
And from lightning sparks of wisdom, the one who desires and the one who is desired do not have any truly existent self. So how could the desire possibly exist? Know that it is the great original purity and freedom.
Let's
read together the verse that is the support for the teachings in chapter 7, an examination of the composite. Considering the composite, the non-composite, positive actions and negative ones, when we examine them with precise knowledge, we find not the slightest trace of their existence.
Tene yang ma wat nam ji jenga ne som yep jun sin ji duze ji chuna rang.